Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. We're back here at the Treasure Chest Casino for weekend kickoff. Steve Geller, Mike Dottiglia have been breaking down some Saints and Patriots action. And this hour, we're going to be talking all LSU, getting ready to take on South Carolina that Saturday night in the Tiger Stadium. Mikey D, you got pregame coverage coming at you. What time are you starting over at the good old Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, we start at 2 o'clock, me and Herb Tyler. We'll be there from 2 to 4:45, and then leading up to the LSU-South Carolina game. This ain't South Carolina of a year ago, that's all I can tell you. Man, me and Herb watched that game and said, how the hell LSU won this game? Because, man, they had them for a while. They had them, and then, boy, at the end, Nussmeier making a few plays. They missed a field goal. LSU come out with a big W against South Carolina. Also today, sort of partial confirmation of what Bobby and I had spoke about maybe 2 weeks ago. I'd kind of heard through the grapevine that LSU had an exclusive jersey patch deal sponsorship. Okay, and the patch sponsorship was with an all-fuel company. And I'm familiar with the company, but I didn't have confirmation on it, so yeah. I ain't going to say it. But it looks as though Woodside Energy, which is based in Perth, Australia. Maybe Tony brought some Pizza Hut pizzas over there during his time frame. But Woodside Energy looks to be, they are going to be the exclusive sponsor for the jersey patch for LSU. They have invested $17.5 billion, and that's with a B.
Yeah.
In Calcasieu Parish. They're heavy into the LNG, natural gas energy situation. So they have a big deal out in southwest Louisiana in Calcasieu Parish, which is, you know, it's going to be in around the Lake Charles area where they're going to have this investment. They figured out real quick the love for LSU football, and it looks as though that they have all the T's kind of crossed and I's dotted and ready to make that announcement. But the exclusive jersey patch deal It will be with Woodside Energy, and it's an Australian-based company. Again, their headquarters is in Perth. I had maybe a dealing or two or three, so I get it. But that's a big deal. I know all teams are looking for that jersey patch where they can make a few money, a few dollars off of things. So, Blake, we got you on the line.
Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of RU Serious Sports Network. Always appreciate the time. We're going to get into the game side of things now.
Yeah, unless you want to talk. You want some of that cut of that $17.5 billion? Maybe I can get you in on that, Blake.
Well, all I heard, for everybody that's listening, Mike and Meg O'Neill, who's the CEO of Woodside, said that they're going to give me 2 dozen oysters at Acme on Saturday. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's what I heard. But, Mike, big day.
I can take care of that. Don't worry.
All right, well, let's do it. I mean, it's a big day. I mean, look, you said billion with a B. You know, I mean, this ain't a joke. I mean, Mike, you're going to see more of this. I mean, with everything going on with the 20 million and the team, well, and even, I guess, now that they said that the December, one thing that got missed in the portal thing that the D1 committee passed, Mike, is that the revenue share goes up to 22.5 on January the 1st. So now you're already starting to increase that TV revenue, but nobody wanted to talk about that part. So, I mean, look, you love it, hate it, you can do or say whatever, but, I mean, Mike, if they need it. So as long as they're playing football, I really don't care.
Ain't going back. You know, I got people, oh, man, I want to go back to my daddy's college football grandpa. Well, you can forget it. It ain't happening. You better adjust to the world because the world ain't going to adjust to you. And look at the ratings. If it's TV, radio, of what's happening in college football, it's went through the roof, Blake. Really has. Okay. So all this stuff about, oh, college football is going to die on the vine. Oh, woe is me. No, you don't know what you're talking about. It's not the case at all when you look at what the ratings they're getting for college football, radio, TV-wise, and the coverage of it is more extensive now than it's ever been.
Mike, Florida State and Virginia had more eyeballs on it than the New York Yankees, and I'm a massive Yankees fan. So just think about that for just a minute, right? Like, I mean, that's not a joke. Like, that's actually factual. Now, I understand, you know, Florida State got upset in that when everybody's watching it on a Friday. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, college football, I mean, Mike, you and I make our living based off of it, right? I mean, sports just in general. And it's not gonna stop anytime soon. And who would want it to stop? But, look, I mean, you got at some point, Mike, people got to get over the NIL and TV revenue because it's here.
Yeah, I mean, they got over the fact that a coach or an assistant can take off and get more money somewhere else. Okay, so you better get used to it. That's just the way the world is today. And but we get plenty of them, Blake. Oh, Lord, we get plenty of texts and callers about that. That's a hot subject with it. Looking at South Carolina this year and having broke down film of them for this week's game against LSU, man, defensively, they look a lot different than they did a year ago. The one stay the same as Dylan Stewart. Ooh-wee. You better put a hat and a hat on that dude because, man, he can just fly off the edge and become very disruptive. But they're not as good in the back seven or even in the front seven as they were a year ago. They don't run the football at all. You think LSU doesn't run the football well. South Carolina runs it even worse. They really miss Rocket Sanders. Their offensive line's always been kind of middle of the road to maybe a little bit lower. Their receiving core is filled with a bunch of young kids. But you do got the one dude that, man, when he's good, he's really good. Now, you got a lot of erratic moments, but your thoughts on Lenoris Sellers, because he's the one guy that can keep South Carolina close in this game.
No doubt, Mike. And you know what worries me about this one? Do I think at every level besides quarterback, LSU has more talent than them? Yes. The problem is like what you said. I mean, Mike, I thought the biggest thing that Lenoris Sellers, even from last year, did to, I'd say it, bump his stock, at least in my opinion, that doesn't, I guess, really matter. Mike, he didn't run the football in a zone read, QB zone, QB power, none of it, against Missouri until the third quarter. He sat in the pocket and dotted them up. And I think that that's the part of his game that he's definitely taken hold of. And offensively, Mike, they haven't had to do a whole lot. The only game that they really had to really push it outside of Vandy taking Sellers out of that was really against Missouri, and they couldn't score enough. And you talked about that run game not being there. But they've been able to generate points defensively. They got multiple touchdowns there and special teams, obviously, with Beamer ball. But Mike, Lenoris Sellers scares me because they're coming off a bye week, too. And everybody over the last 2 weeks has been focused on one quarterback self, and that's Garrett Nussmeier. Well, the problem is that Lenoris Sellers is coming off a concussion, coming off of a bye week. And my question is, Mike, are they going to finally let him loose? Because they haven't. I don't feel like that they've completely let him loose yet in the things that they're doing. Look, here's just the truth. He terrifies me. I think he should terrify everybody because this dude's special. And what you saw against Missouri, him lighting up, which, look, I get it. Missouri's secondary is horrible, and I understand that. Yours isn't. But at the same time, like, this dude's gaining confidence in making NFL throws. And listen, Nick Harbor's Nick Harbor. He can't run a slant, but he can run a go. And big plays are big plays. So, Mike, he just scares me in so many facets of the game. And look, you haven't really been tested other than Ole Miss from a quarterback that can run, but he does it a lot differently. How do you change things? Do you change things? And can Harold Perkins be the X factor yet again?
With Nick Harbor, I got to laugh. He came to a camp that I was at, and I told him, "Say, come on, Nick, you got to learn how to run more than three patterns in your life." And he looked at me. He's like, "Coach, let me just tell you, the three I run them real good." He didn't even work around, hey, I'm working on the other stuff. He was, hey, coach, what I do? I run the three really, really well. Can LSU run the football on this team? I think that's what everybody wants to see here. Now there's going to be a new piece along the offensive line. It looks as though most likely Carius Kearns may get that starting assignment with Mabinga out. Blake, listen, you might have more confidence in it than me. I think if you haven't done it now, it might get a little better, but I don't see this team all of a sudden being a power-running team this year. They might hit a big play with the speed element with a Harlan Berry or Caden Durham, but this team is not going to be a grinded-out power team. I don't care if you get a week off or not.
Yeah, Mike, for me personally, and look, I know I've taken criticism over this, but so be it. I completely abandoned them running the football. Because, look, I'm not saying abandon it, like meaning they need to stop. That's not what I'm saying. But, Mike, I'm not going into any game right now with your staff or this team after what will now be 19 games. And even if, Mike, by the grace of God and Jesus Almighty comes down and you run for the football for 200 yards, maybe. But other than that, I just can't gain confidence. Mike, your longest rushing on the season is Southeastern for 135 yards. Think about this. You're going to have to average to just get to a modest 50% or in the middle of the NCAA of rushing in the mid-50s. Mike, they would have to gain an extra 100 yards a game just to hit average from here on out. No, I don't think it's going to be there. But, Mike, they're going to – I mean, I'm at the place right now for myself. At what point had you gotten through 19 games and knew it wasn't going to be there? Because you knew it wasn't. Now, Caden Durham gave you some life in South Carolina last year. But, Mike, I think when you go back and watch that and you have two interior defensive tackles just hitting the A-gap every play and he catches a couple of lightnings in a bottle, it didn't happen for you like that. So I don't really have faith that they can do it. And Mike, I'm with you. I think they got to put Carius Kearns at left guard. I don't think it makes a massive difference. But it just gets to a point in time where what else are you doing? And lastly, Mike, on the run game, I would just say this. You haven't pulled anybody. You've ran two draws per PFF on the entire season, okay? Both of them came by Garrett that weren't actually that, okay? You haven't run power. You've only run inside and outside zone. And, Mike, I got to tell you something else. It's why I asked Brian Kelly this on Monday. I think Pete Golding kind of tipped off the staff about when they're running the football, too, based off of personnel. When Nick Anderson's in the game, Mike, they're running the ball around 85-90%. So you're going to have to be a little bit more disciplined on your personnel changes. So I don't think it's all just everything. I think they tipped their hand. I think they're a little chaotic. But, Mike, you physically, personnel-wise up front, aren't getting any movement. And until that changes, I don't know what else you can do.
One of the things, Blake, you got to get it more involved in. I'm not talking about going with a deep pass all the time, but you got to get Chris Hilton cranked up. With his speed, his run-after-catch ability, I don't care if it's a three-yard pass downfield and tell him to haul tail. You got to get Hilton much more involved in this offense. And he's been, like, in the witness protection agency since the start of the year.
No doubt. And Mike, I mean, like, you can't really, and then you can't get it to him. And then the two times that you throw him something underneath outside of the screen against Clemson, Mikey's got an 11-yard reception on an out route, and he's got a 15-yard reception on a slant. Everybody knows what he's doing. Why don't you trick somebody? I mean, he does have to get going. Even if you're not just throwing the three at him, as long as you're trying to get him involved in the game. And, Mike, what other options do you have? I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the guys that are out there, but, I mean, Mike, it's not benefiting. So then you just keep running your head up against the wall. I do think they got to get him involved here. You can't just put him in on one play and say run a go route when everybody knows what he's doing. It's not beneficial to you and it's not beneficial to him. But then when he does run other stuff, Mike, he's even hitting that. So I think you've got to get, Mike, two times that we have calculated, and I know – PFF put this out there too. There's only been two times all season that there's been a formation with Berrion Brown, Chris Hilton, and Aaron Anderson on the field. We came into this entire season believing, well, hey, man, you got a quarterback that wants to throw the football down the field. And I understand his injury might have an impact in that. But, Mike, why aren't you putting those three dudes on the field is a question. Now, I don't know the status of Aaron. Seems like he's day-to-day per Brian Kelly now. I don't know if he even goes. But, Mike, you have elite speed. I don't understand why you're not utilizing the way you need to.
To block Dylan Stewart, to watch him, I told this to Charlie that he reminds me a lot of Javon Kearse when he was at Florida. And you think about it, he's played 18 games. He's had 17.5 tackles for losses, and he's had 10 quarterback sacks. And he's basically chipped on almost every play. LSU better not put a tackle out on him one-on-one every play, because he's going to beat that guy. He's just a special talent, and he doesn't have the other bookend like he had a year ago. But still, man, his ability to get low and his closing speed is unreal. They better have a game plan for Dylan Stewart, because he's one of those guys that could wreck your offense real quick.
Yeah, Mike, those two guys that came back over, and I know you talked about it in the open here, but him and Kilgore, right? And they put Kilgore in the box, and they sent him to try to generate and help Dylan Stewart when they send the safety on the other side, sometimes kind of like utilizing it like Perkins in some ways. But he's going against Weston Davis this week, at least what we anticipate, right? Whew, that's going to be a tough one. And they're going to have to chip. They're going to have to double. They're going to have to do everything humanly possible, slide to him. I mean, Mike, you're going to have to just game plan around him. And I don't know what else you do other than making him the key feature of what you do in many regards here. I agree with you. He is arguably, if not the best, edge rusher in the game, and he is dynamic. And, Mike, I'll just tell you this. That South Carolina defense had five turnovers against Kentucky, a turnover on downs and two fumbles and two interceptions. You turn around against Missouri, got the turnover on downs and the interception. Every single one of them, number six, is involved in some form or facet. He is a wrecking ball. He creates so much havoc for teams that he's helped. Even when he's not making the play, he's a massive part of it. And being a massive part of, Mike, all three of their defensive touchdowns that they had in the last couple of weeks. By the way, he was on punt return, okay, making a critical block in week one. He does everything so well, and you got to have a game plan because he creates so much havoc. And, Mike, I got to be real with you. With a quarterback that doesn't really want to run, and it's not a little banged up, I mean, we can pretty much all see it, or maybe he's not. Who knows? But a guy that definitely doesn't want to run. So Garrett better be getting them wheels running. Better put a rosary back there.
Blake, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much, and let's get that W on Saturday.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Mike.
Thank you, Blake. Hey, I'm ready for you. You just come over. I can take care of it. I'm going to get Woodside to take care of me on that particular part. There you go.
That was Blake Ruffino, founder and CEO of the RU Serious Sports Network and the LSU side of things. We're going to take a break when we get back. Get into a little South Carolina Gamecocks talk from Rickson Lane, host of the Believe in South Carolina podcast. Be back with more right after this. Weekend kickoff at the Treasure Chest on WWL. Coming back after the break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back into Weekend Kickoff, folks. Want to let you know today is the final day to register to win tickets to Sunday Saints battle with the New England Patriots in the Caesars Superdome. You can score two premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. We're talking open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May. That's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Go to WWL.com/contest. Enter for your chance to win Saints-Patriots tickets from WWL Saints Radio. Going to take a break. Be back with more breaking down LSU versus South Carolina right after this on WWL. Back here for Weekend Kickoff, Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grove as we've been breaking down South Carolina taking on LSU on Saturday. To guess the Gamecock side of things, host of the Believe in South Carolina podcast, Rickson Lane joining us now. How you doing, Rickson? What's going on, man?
Oh, I'd be doing better if I was down in New Orleans with you guys, but I'll live vicariously through the phone call. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Thank you, Rickson. We appreciate it. I think a lot of people starting the season thought, okay, defensively you lose five guys to the NFL. That's a big loss when you lose in that. But really, has the disappointment been more on the offensive side, the football? Don't have a running game. Rocket Sanders not there. I got some new receivers that you're implanting into the lineup. Now, you do got a superstar, a potential one, so to speak, in Sellers. But has the offense been more of a disappointment than on the defensive side?
I think overall I would say so. I think the disappointing part of the defense, because you're right, they lost five really good guys off of that unit last year. But the way they started the season at Virginia Tech, you kind of thought, oh, shoot, you know, maybe they're better. And it turns out they're not better. Virginia Tech's just terrible. But I think the defense has played pretty well for the most of the season. The issue with them has been Vanderbilt and Missouri, they just forgot how to tackle. And Ahmad Hardy absolutely shredded them. Vanderbilt kind of had their way with them on the ground. With the teams that have beaten South Carolina, the game plan has basically been run the ball, kill the clock, keep Lenore Sellers and the offense off the field, and it's worked. And it's worn down their defense. But the disappointing part for the offense is that even when they've been on the field, guys, they haven't really been able to do a whole lot. They've scored eight touchdowns in the four FBS games they've played on the offensive side of the ball. I think LSU has scored seven in their four FBS games. This whole game has real Spider-Man meme vibes to it. These are two very similar teams, in my opinion. But Carolina, you're right. The wide receiver core, they didn't really go get anybody in the portal. Nick Harbor has been running wind sprints for 3 years, and he's not really looked like a number one until the last couple games. I think he's looked a lot better. You had Vandrevious Jacobs, who's kind of emerged as a big-time target for them, and also did just, you know, prime wide receiver one behavior. He went and took a teammate's jersey who left to go in the portal, so he went and snatched number four up. So he'll be wearing a new number on Saturday, which is always a good little shot in the arm for a wide receiver. But the running game has not been effective at all. You know, Rasul Faison has had no room to run. Lenora Sellers was basically not a part of the running game until the Kentucky game. He ran for 81 yards against Kentucky, but in the five games before that, coincidentally, the five games where they had a new offensive coordinator, he was averaging 7 yards a carry. And, you know, guys, I'm just a boy from South Carolina, but I think I could game plan to get that dude 7 yards a carry. He's a unicorn back there. And, yeah, the offense just has not really found its groove yet. And I think they're going to have to try to find it on Saturday, because I think this is a game they can get, but they can't get it without scoring some points.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's an intriguing game from both sides, because both of them can't run worth a lick. Neither one can run the football. And so I think a big part of this game is, can LSU put hat in a hat, two hats on Dylan Stewart? I'll let you talk. You've got to cover him over the last year and a half and what type of talent he is. And my comparison to him, watching him, I've been doing this a long time. So it would be Javon Curse when he was at Florida. He's that type talent coming off the edge.
I mean, he is a freak as well, so I could definitely see that comparison. He's a game changer, no doubt about it. And, you know, he's giving a lot of the same vibes that Jadeveon Clowney had in his junior year, because there have been times this year where some Carolina fans have been kind of frustrated with Dylan Stewart that his numbers aren't what they think they should be. And I'm looking at the team going, guys, he's getting double and triple teamed every play. Like, that's his impact right now. He's still putting up numbers. I mean, he nearly sawed a dude in half during the Kentucky game and traumatized poor Cutter Bowley. But he has not maybe had the statistical output that people might have thought coming into the season. But that's because he's commanding so much attention. It's freed up guys like Brian Thomas, who's been a pleasant surprise on the other end of the defensive line. It's freed up guys like that to be able to go and make some plays. So, yeah, I mean, Dylan Stewart, he's the type of dude where you got to know where he is and have a game plan for him on almost every single offensive snap, because when he does make plays, they ain't little plays. They're big-time highlight reel plays. So, and I think you're right. I think for LSU, especially – you know, with Garrett Nussmeier, with, you know, the health concerns that he's got, and, you know, maybe a little hesitant to run in this game, I wouldn't want to be a sitting duck back there with number six and one-on-one matchups on the outside edge. So I'll be interested to see how LSU decides to handle him.
My thing is this. Okay, LSU's not going to give you a big threat running the ball. All I want you to do is take off and run after the quarterback. Get after Nussmeier. They're not going to scare you running the ball. So you just rush your quarterback, and Weston Davis, he better get some help, because then it's not one-on-one. You're going to be able to block Dylan Stewart all night long. Give us a younger player that has emerged on offense and defense for South Carolina, because sometimes, you know, you have a freshman, maybe you don't think he's going to make that big of an impact, or a redshirt freshman or a transfer guy early on, but he has really picked it up. Tell us a little bit about somebody on offense and defense for the Gamecocks.
You know, I think on offense, you got to go with Brian Rowe, the wide receiver. South Carolina went and got no guys out of the portal at wideout, which is a little surprising, but they signed six freshman wide receivers, and the thought was, hey, one of them is going to rise to the top, and I think Brian Rowe has kind of done that. He had a big game against Missouri. He's kind of emerged as sort of the leader in the clubhouse of that club of young wide receivers that it looks like the offense trusts a little bit more, and Mike Shula trusts more, and Lenora Sellers is building a rapport with him. So I think he's a guy that for a receiving corps that needs weapons desperately right now, I think the more they can involve him in the offense and get him comfortable, the better. On the defensive side, I think you'd have to go with the linebacker, Justin Anakwuru, who's a transfer in from Alabama, but has come in and really performed pretty well for Carolina. I know he had a rough game against Missouri, but so did the other 10 guys on defense for the majority of that game for the Gamecocks. So he's been a guy that's come in and really kind of helped solidify a linebacker room that just got decimated through graduation last year. So I would say those are the two guys right now that you look at maybe – not getting the type of headlines and the praise that some of the more well-known names on those sides of the ball are getting, but definitely dudes that are going to have to play their A game if Carolina wants to have a shot on Saturday.
I think about last year's game, and there are two of them for LSU. I still don't know how the hell they won it. One was against Ole Miss in Tiger Stadium, and I'll still shake my head about that. The other one was against South Carolina. Because really, South Carolina had them. I mean, you know, we got them right where we want them, sort of overconfident. In the second half, Nussmeier was able to make some plays. He had an injury to Sellers. But to lose that game, South Carolina has not been a double-digit winning team. You know, that isn't a consistent part of what you expect from South Carolina. But they had that opportunity. They let that game slip away from them and then had a field goal late that went awry that gave LSU the W. But that was a crazy game last year in Columbia.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the Gamecock experience. It's just getting your heart ripped out about two or three times a year. So we're pretty used to that. But yeah, I mean, it was a game that, you know, we'll address the elephant in the room. That's why that game is the reason why Jason Autry's name in South Carolina is about as popular as Daryl Sherman's name in Atlanta. The referee from the crew that was in that game in Columbia last year. But you know, that's a game that South Carolina, they ran for 243 yards in that game against LSU. And guys, I went back and looked all the way back to like the early 1960s. That's about 17 meetings. Carolina has never done that. They've never run for that many yards against LSU. They've only outgained LSU in the run game three times in the last 17 meetings. And in all of those games, they were either really close, we're talking like an 8-point loss, a 3-point loss, and a tie in 95, or they've been blown out. They're losing by about 15 points a game when LSU wins the run battle. They won one time in their history when LSU outgained them on the ground, and that was in 1994, and LSU threw for 53 yards in the entire game, and they also threw two interceptions. So you can't count on that happening on Saturday. So I really do think that if Carolina wants to win this game or at least be in this game late, you've got to be able to outgain LSU on the ground. And when you talk about it, the South Carolina run game and the LSU run game, it's a real stoppable force against movable object battle because neither of these teams could run the ball if they put 10 traffic cones on defense.
That's a good way to put it, brother.
Rickson, when you look at this Gamecock squad, too, I saw a lot of folks saying that they might have the edge in another area on special teams. Just talk about that unit and how they've been performing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, with Shane Beamer comes the expectation that you're going to be good on special teams, and South Carolina has been very good. Vakari Swain has three punt return touchdowns for the season. He's in an insane drought. I think he's gone three straight games without a punt return for a touchdown. He had three through the first 2 weeks. So he's been a weapon for them. Carolina, you know, will pull out some trickery on special teams. They ran what I thought was an incredibly ill-informed fake punt against Kentucky last week that didn't work and would have let Kentucky back in the game if they had a pulse on offense. But you got to know that Shane Beamer is going to try to pull some stuff out in a game where he thinks his special teams can give him an advantage. They've been pretty solid in the kicking game, which has been somewhat surprising considering they replaced the entire operation. They've got a new snapper, a new holder, and a new kicker, and a new punter from last year. So the special team so far this season, I think, has been better than people expected considering all the guys that they had to replace. But, yeah, it would not surprise me one bit if we see some special team shenanigans on Saturday from South Carolina.
Definitely appreciate the time. Thanks so much. And what can folks do following you on Twitter and whatnot to keep up with the latest on South Carolina, Rickson?
On Twitter, at Rickson Lane, and then Believe in South Carolina, the podcast on the Believe Network, is available on Apple, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. So hopefully people will tune in and keep up with the Gamecocks after Saturday if they need just another SEC team to pull for. I know y'all don't want to pull for Bama or Auburn or anybody down there, but we're not a threat to you guys. Y'all can tune in and keep up with the Gamecocks.
Thank you, Rickson.
We got to keep tabs on Sellers. He might end up a Saints draft pick. Who knows?
Hey, he might make it a little pre-event scouting of what the Saints could have. Hey, you can thank
2 years from now. Give us
a full quarterback room with him and Rattler.
Yeah, and hey, you got Torricelli Simpkins here.
I'm telling you, man, there's a pipeline.
How about that?
Again, we're not so different, you and I. We're really not.
Rickson, thank you so much again for the time, man. Have a great game day.
Laissez le bon ton rouler, gentlemen. I appreciate you.
That's awesome. Rickson Lane, host of the Believe in South Carolina podcast. Check out his work there. Also follow him at Rickson Lane on Twitter. Taking a break. Be back with more of Weekend Kickoff right after this on WWL. Who dat?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, have you tried the Alder and Birch Steakhouse at the Treasure Chest Casino? Indulge in the finest cuts of steak and fresh seafood at Alder and Birch Steakhouse. Menu features a variety of steaks cooked to perfection, along with a range of delicious seafood options and a carefully curated list of classic cocktails and premium wines to perfectly complement your meal. Whether celebrating special occasions or simply enjoying steak or a seafood dinner, Alder and Birch at the Treasure Chest Casino provides an unforgettable dining experience.
Let's go!
The week Weekend Kickoff rolling on, Mikey D. We're in the Game Bar and Grill right next to Alder and Birch. Next hour, we're going to get into some more Saints talk as well as some Pelicans with team host and reporter Aaron Summers. And then, guys, our pick six segment. See how we did last weekend and then make our selections for this weekend's games. Plus, Thursday Night Football coming up at 7. Philadelphia Eagles at New York Giants. First up, though, top of the hour news break here on WWLAMFM.com. Be back with more Weekend Kickoff, folks, right after this. Who dat?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.